We just want to thank y'all for the support that you give to Christ Unveiled Ministries. A couple of weeks ago, we were informed that the Kids Home Orphanage in Pakistan was in need of mattresses. So we came to the congregation and we asked for your support. And you guys responded overwhelmingly. Some people bought a mattress. Some people bought two or three mattresses. Some people just said, here's a donation, buy whatever you can get. And it's because of the support that you all give to Christ Unveiled Ministries, it allows us to be able to reach out and help somebody else. And so we just want to share this video that we received from the Kids Home Orphanage with the mattresses. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because it's because of the love and the sacrifice that you all made, it allowed us to be a blessing to somebody who doesn't have anything. You know, and when you look at those mattresses, they weren't very thick at all. But when you think about the mattress that we sleep on every night, and, you know, I had a conversation last week with somebody and they were talking about the purple. I don't know if you're aware of the purple mattress because it sleeps so good. But we have many comforts here. And to be able to be a blessing to someone else who they can in no way return the blessing that we bestowed upon them. It's not like they're going to hop over and, you know, and give us something. They had a need. And we met the need. And we just want to thank all of you, those of you who are in the sanctuary, those of you who are tuned in by webcast. We appreciate the sacrifice that you made so that these kids who do not have a home, so to speak, they have this home, that we can be a blessing to them. Amen? Praise God. And going on, I just want to say, if you want to prepare yourself this morning for the tithe and offering. And as you do, again, we just appreciate so much the support that you all give to Christ Unveiled. And it's because of that support, it allows us to be able to take God's word out to the world. As you can see from the video, we don't just stay in these four walls. You know, we have missions in Houston. We just completed a mission in Kansas. We do mission work, in the Ukraine. We've done it off and on in Sri Lanka, Philippines, Nigeria. When God commissioned us to take the word into all the world, not just the word, but it helps when we can take finances. It helps so that people can see there's somebody out there who is willing to be obedient to God and to help me. You know, I keep saying thank y'all. I just can't say it enough because Pastor and I cannot do this all by ourselves. So we appreciate all the support that comes from everyone that donates to Christ Unveiled. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ooh, Father. Lord, I just thank you. Words cannot express, Lord, the overwhelming appreciation that we have for your people. And God, we just thank you for all those who consistently donate to Christ Unveiled to help us to get your word out. And Father, I just ask that for those who have a heart, a desire to support this ministry, but may not have the finances, touch their finances, Lord. Bless them so that they in turn can be a blessing to somebody else. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you. In your holy name, amen. Now, I have to admit, I have a soft spot when it comes to children. And so, you give me a minute to compose myself so I can get into the word. But it's nothing like the innocence of a child. And when God looks at us, we should be that innocent child. You know, I watch my grand girls with their daddy and their mommy. Oh my, they just go crazy. Hands are up, and you know, they're just like, here I am, here I am. We should be the same when it comes to God. We should be, Lord, here I am. I surrender myself to you. I open myself up, Father. Take me in your arms, Lord. Comfort me. Keep me. Direct me. I sit before your feet. I let your blood cover all my sins. Father, I just surrender myself to you. Pour your spirit out upon me. Help me to be who you would have me to be, Lord. Father, and I give you all the praise and all the glory. You know, we live in a world that speaks easily about ideas, concepts, and preferences. An idea is something that is formed in our imagination. An idea can be reshaped, softened, or dismissed. And see, people are easy to accept or are comfortable with the idea of Jesus. They look at the idea of Jesus as he was a philosopher. They'll reduce him to morality. He was a good person. They say he was an inspiration to mankind. The idea of a moral teacher, a revolutionary, or someone who has compassion, or who just loves without judgment. That's easy to accept, that idea. And many people can accept the concept of Jesus. They look at him as a social reformer, a prophet among prophets, an enlightened teacher, or a first century martyr. And then we have the preference of Jesus. And preference tends to be just a little bit distorted. Because when you look at preference, preference can be changed. Preference is made to fit what I want. Be it my preference for Jesus is to see him with long flowing red hair, green eyes, a beard that's white. That's my preference. Not true, but it's my preference. And see, when we have the preference of Jesus, we can allow him to fit in whatever it is we want him to fit in. My preference is, it's okay for me to sleep with somebody outside of marriage. My preference is, it's okay for me to marry somebody of the same sex that I am. So when I have a preferential view of Jesus, I can make him fit into whatever it is that I want him to fit into. But the Bible doesn't present him as an idea or a concept or a preference. Scripture presents Jesus as real. He's real in history. He's real in flesh. He's real in sacrifice, in suffering, resurrection. He's real in this present reign right now. And see, we don't, as a believer, we're not a believer in a myth. We're a believer in a fact. We're a believer in the truth. Jesus is not made real by our belief. He is real, and our belief is our response to that reality. See, we want to think, oh, because I believe God, then he's real. Whether I believe him or not, he's real anyway. His reality is not based on what I believe, what I say, what I do. But my belief is based on whether or not I believe he is real. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Because to me, that's pretty plain. In the beginning was the Word. But if that's not plain enough, if that's not enough to capture our reality of who Jesus is, we can drop down to verse 14. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then these two scriptures alone give us a reality of who Jesus is. When you look at Jesus, you can't look at him as an idea, because an idea does not bleed. And I'll actually come back to that a little bit later. But when we look at that scripture, we can see that God stepped into flesh and lived amongst us. We either believe it or we don't. He is either real or he isn't. And you know, that's one thing about God. He gives all of us a choice as to what it is that we can do. He gives us a choice to believe. He gives us a choice not to believe. I hate to say this. He gives us a choice to live in sin, or he gives us a choice to believe that our sins are covered by his blood and the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross. But it's all about reality. Jesus was not like God. He was God manifested in the flesh. There is no question. As a believer, let me put it this way. As a believer, there should be no question that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Because he had to be God for salvation, but he had to be man for substitution. So he had to be all God and all man, because that was the only thing that was going to remit my sins. That's the only thing that was going to save all of mankind. And it's because of the love that the Father has for us that he was willing to come down, take on human flesh, walk this earth 33 and a half years, allow his own creation to beat him, to smite him, to nail him to a cross, not because of anything that he did. I think sometimes we forget that. You know, sometimes our reality, our preference is, look at me. Don't I look good? I am so good. I am like, do you see my wings coming out my back? Do you see that halo on my head? Because I have done this myself. And we tend to forget that there is nothing that we can do, could have done, did do, that was going to remit our sins. The only thing that saves us from the wrath of God is that when he looks down on us, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees the sacrifice that Jesus made. The blood covers everything. God prepared a body for him. And he said it was for this purpose the Son of God was manifest. What is the purpose that he was manifested for? For our reality. The purpose he was manifested for was to go to the cross, to shed his blood for the remission of our sins, so that I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to endure the wrath that is to come. And reality check, wrath is coming. For some folks, wrath is here right now. You know, it makes no sense to spend your entire life living and you're living in hell. But if you're not living for Jesus, if you have not allowed him to be Lord and Savior of your life, then yes, you're living in hell. You're going to go to hell if you do not place your faith in the shed blood of Jesus. Now, I'm still trying to talk about reality. You know, Jesus, I have found that not everyone who knows his name knows the reality. As I said earlier, the world speaks easily of the idea, the concept, the preference. The world speaks easily of God. But ask them to put a name on it. Who is God? Is your God Buddha? Is your God Hare Krishna? Is your God the Pope? Or is your God Jesus, the Savior, the only one? Galatians 4 and 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, the fullness of time, it indicates divine orchestration. It wasn't by happenstance. It wasn't something that was stumbled on. But it was the time that God had prepared for Jesus to come, walk the earth, and shed his blood. The fullness of time. First John 4 and 2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. As I said, there are a lot of people that say his name, but not a lot of people that know that he's real. But if you're confessing that he's come in the flesh, then you know that he's real. And I begin to think about people like blind Bartimaeus. I guarantee you, after he got his sight, there was no way that you could not have told him that Jesus was real. When you look at Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and Jesus called him out of the tomb, now, you're going to tell him that man sitting at the dinner table with you, he ain't real. There's nothing going on. Or the one leper that came back out of the tin when Jesus had cleansed him. He's going to tell you, that man is real. I can't speak for all of y'all, but I know he's real. I know he's of God. When we look at our life, we need to be at the point where we know that he is real. There should not be any question in a believer's mind as to whether or not Jesus is real. You know, sometimes we can be walking along and we're just so happy in the Lord and, you know, all is good. And then the wind comes. The storm starts to rage. Somebody says something that sounds almost right. And you start to think, well, maybe I should step back. Maybe what I really believe is not what I really believe. Maybe it's okay for all of us to coexist. You know, maybe it's okay for me to embrace this other God of my friend. That is not reality. That may be the way that the world is going, but that should not be our reality. There should be no mixing, because the scripture says there is only one name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. So if this is not about salvation, which none of these other gods can give, why serve them? Why spend time? Why waste your time when there is no benefit? And I'm not saying that as a believer that we only believe God because of the benefits. No, what I'm saying is because we believe God, we get those benefits. And I'm gonna walk in every benefit that the Lord has for me, because I know what my life would have been like. I know where I would have been without Jesus. I know that if I take a step back and see, and that's something else. We can't get complacent. We can't allow ourselves to just stop and sit on our hunches and not go forward. For as long as we walk this earth, we have to continue moving forward. We have to continue moving towards Jesus. We have to continue to press towards the reality that we know is there. And you know what's good is the fact that the reality doesn't stop with just knowing who Jesus is. The reality goes on into eternity. The reality goes on to believing that there's a city of gold up there that's coming down to this earth. The reality is knowing that this mortal shall put on immortality. The reality is knowing that there is life for me. Reality. We want reality, and you know, our world is a mess. Our world is a mess. And we want our reality to fit into the 50,000 housewives of Beverly Hills. Or my love life on this yacht over here. That's the reality that the world portrays to us. But as believers, that is not the reality that we need to be walking in. Our reality needs to be so straight line, so tough, that as the old saints used to say, plumb the line. You know, the scripture tells us that wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is that gate. And reality tells us that we need to be walking in that narrow path. Reality tells us that we need to seek for the old path, and when we find it, we need to walk therein. That reality is Jesus. Yeah. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, the knee of the atheist, the knee of the skeptic, the knee of the ruler, the president, the prime minister, every citizen, every believer, every knee is gonna bow. Now, we can either bow in worship by choice, or we can bow in regret with no choice. But we will all bow. Every knee is going to bow. And at this point, we are truly going to touch reality. We are truly going to see Jesus for who he is. We're going to see him not just as the one who shed his blood and gave his life. But at this point, we're going to see him as a judge. So we can either accept the reality of him right now and walk in his goodness, or we can accept the reality of who he is, whether we want to or not. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift with the culture. He doesn't age. He doesn't evolve. He's the same. You know, I had never thought about whether or not he evolved, but when I seen that, I thought, oh, he's the same. No evolution is needed. He was there in the beginning. He created all things. Yeah, man tries to say evolution was involved in that, but that devil's a lie. We're talking creation. He created all things. He is real. And we can see his reality in our everyday life. Take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. That's the reality of Jesus. Can you see me up here? Are your eyes working? That's the reality of Jesus. Can you hear me talking? That's the reality of Jesus. And we need to look at his reality in every aspect of our life. He's real in flesh. He's real in blood. He's real in resurrection, in power, in judgment. He's real forever. There is no getting around it. You can either accept the reality or you can reject the reality. Like I said, he gives us a choice. He's a loving father. He doesn't twist our arm to try and make us do anything. But I think he lays it out in front of us well enough, appeasing enough to where we need to want to accept it. See, we can ignore an idea. We can revise a concept. We can defend a preference. But one day, we are going to stand before the reality of Jesus. He's not fading into history. He's not confined to the pages of the Bible. But he's alive right now. He still tugs on people's heart. He calls out with loving kindness. Does he draw us? He still saves and he still reigns. He may have walked those dusty roads 2,000 years ago with his disciples, but he is active right now. He hasn't stopped. His reality hasn't stopped. His reality will continue on into eternity future, because he is eternity future. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. That's who Jesus is. And we have to walk in his reality. You know, the old saints used to sing a song. He's real, real. Jesus is real to me. Yeah, I know. I want to get like that too, but I'm going to calm it down a little bit. Oh, yes. He gives me the victory. So many people doubt him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. I can't speak for anybody else. But what I can do is encourage you this morning to make Jesus more real when you walk out these doors than when you walked in these doors. Because the more of reality that we experience with Jesus, what I found is the more that I know that he's real, the more that I want to know that he's real. The more that I know the reality and the things that he's done, the more I want to experience that reality. And that reality is available to each and every one of us. You know, all we got to do is walk in it. And nobody's going to come and twist your arm and make you do it and tell you if you don't, you're going to hell. Or if you do, you got to do it this way. But he's laid it out right in front of us. And we just have to make a choice. We need to have that reality check. We need to have that reality check. And just think, how real is Jesus to me? Am I just talking it? Or am I living it? Has his reality come into my life? Has his reality taken over my life? I just want to encourage each and every one of us. Allow him to be more real. Say, well, Sister Lincoln, I know he's real to me, yeah. No, allow him to be more real. We cannot get enough of his realness, okay? I don't know any other way to say it. We can't. There is no time that we will get to the place that we arrived in. I'm walking in all the realness of God, you know. I got this. No. It's just like the carpet. You kick the carpet, it rolls a little bit. You're walking in reality. You kick it a little bit more, and guess what? You're walking a little more in reality. And we can continue to kick it, continue to walk in that reality until we make it over into eternity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and righteous Father, Lord, we just thank you right now for your word. Father, I ask that you help us to see you for who you are. Help us to walk in the reality of who you are and what you have done for us. Help us, Father, to be able to get to the place where we realize that we are not doing anything. And without you, there's nothing that we can do. Lord, we just praise you right now. And we thank you for the place that you have brought us to.
Thank you, Lord, for being real in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the word that we received today. We ask that it would just continue to set on our hearts, Lord. Because in theory, yes, Lord, we know that you're real, but allow us to see your realness throughout our lives, Lord, in the practical things that we go through each and every day. Open our eyes and our hearts to see you more, Lord, and to be obedient to you more. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thank you again, everybody, for being out with us today. I have a few announcements. If you haven't had a chance to give, please know we always do need your help, and there's numerous ways to do that. Also, Brother Torrence Nash will be with us on the 21st and also on the 22nd. So that's Saturday at 7 p.m. and on Sunday at the 9 and the 11 a.m. So come be with us for that. Again, thank you so much for your support with the orphanage. We saw the video, and hopefully that blessed your heart and encouraged you to give more to those efforts. And so if you'll go ahead and stand with me, and we'll just be dismissed. Lord, once again, we thank you so much for bringing us out to hear your word. We thank you so much for being real in our lives, Lord. We thank you so much for everything that you do for us each and every day, Lord. Help us not take it for granted, even the very breath that we breathe. Everything that we do, we can't do it without you, oh God. And so, Father, we thank you for being so good to us. And we ask that you would just keep your hand upon us as we go out this week and help us to continue to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.